Businesses begin to turn away from Saudi Arabia after reports a journalist was killed by its security services. This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. U.S. media reports say the Turkish government has audio and video that prove missing Saudi journalist and Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi was killed inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul when he disappeared 10 days ago. Well, now business leaders and journalists are taking a stand. The BBC's Victoria Craig reports.
Saudi Arabia has denied any involvement in Jamal Khashoggi's disappearance, but U.S. and Turkish officials have reportedly said recordings provide evidence. A Saudi security team detained the journalist as he went to collect an official document before his upcoming wedding, then killed him and dismembered his body. The disappearance is under investigation, but President Donald Trump said yesterday he's reluctant to block investments from Saudi Arabia because he doesn't, quote, like the concept of stopping an investment of $110 billion into the United States. In less than 2 weeks, Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman is hosting a conference known as Davos in the Desert. The young leader has received praise for modernization efforts in the country, including allowing more freedom for women and investing in the kingdom's first concerts, cinemas, and fashion shows. But businesses are now pushing back in a show of solidarity for the missing journalist. Uber's CEO said he will not attend the conference in Riyadh, while speakers from The New York Times and The Economist have also pulled out. Today, British billionaire Sir Richard Branson, founder of the Virgin Group, said if proved true, the allegations against the country would, quote, clearly change the ability of any of us in the West to do business with the Saudi government. Mr. Branson suspended talks over a $1 billion Saudi investment in his Virgin space firms and halted directorships in two Saudi tourism projects. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are rebounding after yesterday's sharp sell-off. Hong Kong's Hang Seng jumped more than 2%, while China's Shanghai Composite rose nearly 1%. European shares are higher, with the pan-European Stock 600 gaining 0.4%. Meanwhile, fresh data from China showed exports rose 14.5% last month, and it notched a new record trade surplus with the U.S. Now let's hear from one of the two Americans who won this year's Nobel for Economics. William Nordhaus of Yale won for his work on the economics of climate change. He's called for a worldwide tax on activities that produce carbon dioxide. Paul Romer of New York University won for his research into how innovation can be used to help protect the environment. The BBC's Andrew Walker has been speaking to Paul Romer about his research.
I find it very helpful to start with a question. And the question that was driving me was, why was the rate of progress steadily increasing over time? From century to century, the growth rate or any measure of improvement in standards of living, well, the growth rate was going up. The ultimate answer that came out of this kind of theorizing about technology is that ideas are very unique in the sense that when one person discovers an idea, everybody can use it. So the more people you have trying to discover things, the more ideas everybody is going to have, and the faster the rate that they're going to accumulate. So what finally emerged was a connection between globalization, taking our economic connections and extending them throughout the whole world, a connection between globalization and faster growth.
Paul Romer, and you can hear the full interview online. Just search for BBC and Romer. Netflix and Amazon are battling in India to increase their viewership. Complicating matters, many Indian production houses are making their own shows for the web and launching their own apps. The BBC's Yogita Lemai reports from Mumbai.
I'm in a northern suburb of the city on the sets of a show that's being filmed for the web.
Roll camera, action.
The lead actor is Arunoday Singh.
Everyone I know, from the lady that comes to clean my house to the guard, they all watch these things.
The demand has been fueled by cheap smartphones and low mobile data rates. The internet is also changing storylines. Maya 2, a web-based show, revolves around a lesbian love story. It's a theme that would have found it very hard to get on television or in cinemas in India, not only because of social taboos, but also because of strict censorship rules. The director of Maya 2, Krishna Bhatt, says web series have given her new freedom.
To show in a theatre, I will have to go through 10,000 censor rules. My kisses will get cut. Even TV, you know, you're not allowed to show something like that on TV. On digital, however, I have the power to show exactly the story I want to tell.
Foreign companies have spotted the potential in the Indian market. After its first big production for audiences here, Netflix has announced a slew of projects in India. And Amazon is also investing heavily in the country. In a mass market like India, they hope to make money through user subscriptions. Nachiket Pantvaidya, chief executive of Indian production house Alt Balaji, tells me about their strategy to grab more viewers.
We want to keep our net pricing to the consumer less than a rupee a day, which is 1/65th of a dollar. That's the point at which individuals will buy into this phenomenon.
On the set, it's a race against time to finish 11 episodes. This boom depends heavily on mobile data rates remaining low in India. No one is quite sure how long cellular service providers will be able to sustain themselves before they have to raise prices. But until that happens, the cameras will keep rolling.
Roll camera.
Yogita Lamai in India, and I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report, coming to you live from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.